There we go. Revelation chapter number 20. I pushed play on there and it started me preaching. So I don't know if that's good, but it's good to be here this morning. And tell you what, it's been exciting. It was cold this morning. I woke up and I said, man, it's about the coldest I've felt for a long time. And we're heading south here on Tuesday, as I mentioned on Friday. And we're going to the Carolinas and then down to Florida. So while you guys continue to deal with the freezing cold and snow, I promise you I'll be thinking about you. And thankful we be where it's warm, but it's good to be here today. Revelation chapter number 20 in our Bibles. Notice there in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This morning, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "What John Saw Happen to You." Let's pray together, and then we'll get started. Father, I pray you'd use your word to bring about conviction. Lord, for one that's never been born again, they're not sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name, amen. As you turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation is a really power-packed, action-filled book. In fact, it's probably the most exciting when it comes to events that unfold in the Word of God. I know every part and every portion and every chapter of the Word of God's power-packed, but you come to the book of Revelation, it's one catastrophe after another catastrophe, one worldwide dilemma after another. Man, it is an action-filled book. And as you come to the beginning of Revelation, you find that John is the author of this book. It's called John, the Revelation of John. Really, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ preaching to John the Apostle. But John begins to give his eyewitness account of all that unfolds in the future. You know, I don't know about you, but I tell you what, it would be awesome to know what's going to take place tomorrow. And it'd be awesome to know who's going to win the Super Bowl next. Well, we know the Patriots are going to win. But it'd be awesome to know who's going to win the election here in 2016. It would be amazing to know the future. In fact, as you look at the different television channels that are offered, many of them deal with the people that tell the future. At least they try to. There's a big push for the horoscopes. Man, people are interested in what is going to take place in the future. And did you know what? There was one man that got to witness the future. And that man's name was John, the beloved apostle of Jesus Christ. And as you come to Revelation chapter number 4, John begins to tell what he sees in the future. In fact, as you go through Revelation, one phrase that you'll find over and over is this word, "and I saw," or "I beheld," or "I stood," or John giving that first eyewitness account. He's saying, "This is what I saw." What did John see in the future? What did he get to experience? John got to experience the beauty of heaven. He got to see God Almighty sitting upon his throne, and the angels are following before him, and they're worshiping him, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He saw the saints around the throne. He saw the beauty of heaven. John got to see the crystal, that river of water, clear as crystal. He saw the throne which Christ was sitting upon. He saw the street of gold. He saw the wall of the New Jerusalem garnished with 12 different precious stones. He saw the 12 gates. Each gate was one pearl. Hey, John was able to see the beauty of the New Jerusalem. He was able to see the new beauty of heaven. He was able to see the saints enjoying being around the throne of God. And yet, you know, as you go through Revelation, John not only sees the beauty of the future, but John also sees some great terror that's getting ready to unfold. John said what he saw was, he said, "I saw the trumpets, and I saw the judgments, and I saw the vials that were opened." John said, "I saw the wrath of God being poured out upon this earth." You realize there was a day coming coming when 1/4 of the world will be killed in just a brief amount of time. There is a day coming when there will be a worldwide famine. There is a day coming when there will be worldwide war. They talk about World War I and World War II. Let me say World War III is just around the corner. Hey, they talk about one day there's going to be great struggle for power. There's going to be a one world currency. There's going to be a one world government. There's going to be a day when the push of the world and the governments of the world will be to destroy those believers and to destroy the Jews. And then there is a day coming when the judgment of God is going to fall. The Bible says there's a day coming when every island and mountain will be moved out of their place. There's a day coming when every island will flee away. There's a day coming when there will be the waters will be turned to blood, when all the fish that are in the sea will die. There's a day coming when all the green grass is going to be burnt up and all the trees are going to be destroyed. Hey, there is a day coming when the stars are going to fall from heaven to the earth. There's a day coming when the catastrophe will unfold. And the Bible says as John began to see the future unfold, he began to give that firsthand eyewitness account. This is what I saw. I saw the earthquake. I saw the judgment. I saw the wrath of God. I saw the blood of the rivers turn to blood. John begins to unfold this account that he sees in the future. And yet it's amazing as you come to Revelation chapter number 20 and the world has now been destroyed. The enemies have been subdued. Satan is taken and he's cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. We come to John chapter number 20 and verse number 11 where John made this statement. He said, "And I saw a great white throne." In verse number 12, he said, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." And this morning, I want to ask you this question. Did John see you as you came and you stood before God at this great white throne judgment? You know, you read in the Bible talks about two different judgments. The first judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ, and that is reserved for all those that know Christ as their personal Savior. For all those who have made the decision to, by faith alone, apart from works, turn from their sin and trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a day coming when believers, we will stand before Jesus Christ and we will give an account. We will give a narrative of our life to the Savior. But the Bible talks about another judgment, and that is this judgment here in Revelation chapter number 20. This is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And let me say, this judgment is reserved for all those that have never trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Hey, whether you're in India, whether you're in Japan, Australia, whether you're in the United States of America, or in Columbia, South Carolina, you can be down in Argentina, you can be over in Africa, it doesn't matter where you may be at, friend. If you die without Jesus Christ, you will one day stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And I wonder this morning, did John see you? Because what John is now doing here in these couple of verses is he is giving an eyewitness account of this judgment. He is giving that firsthand account. This is what I'm seeing. And he says in verse 15, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I wonder, did John see you as you were cast in the lake of fire? Would you notice, first of all, here in Revelation chapter 20, would you notice, first of all, the judge? As John gives this final setting in heaven, notice, first of all, the judge. He says, "And I saw a great white throne." All right, John says, "As I entered into the courtroom of Almighty God," he said the courtroom that I saw was a little different than normal. I think about today's day, if you were to get a ticket. I know some places, if you go over a certain amount, I believe it's over 20 miles an hour, you've got to appear in court. And or let's say that you had the privilege of being arrested. Now, let me just say, I've never had that privilege, all right? And in fact, I've only been pulled over twice, I believe. So I missed out on a lot of excitement. But what they tell me is, when you go to court, and I've never been, I've never had to serve on the jury, I've just not been the case yet. But what they tell me is, as you enter that courtroom, You first of all, you see the desk behind which the judge sits. And many times it's an oak desk. Many times it's a big, large, flowing desk. And there the judge sits. And he comes out with that black robe and that gavel in hand. And you've got the witness stand on this side where the witness will stand up and they will give their account for what they saw as they give their testimony. You'll have the court reporter section. You'll have the jury section. You'll have the defense table. You'll have the prosecutor's table. And you'll have some spectator seats in the back. Let me just say, the courtroom of the United States of America is a little different than the courtroom of heaven. John said, as I saw this scene unfold in heaven, he said, here's what I saw in the courtroom. He said, I saw a great white throne. Let me just say something. Jesus Christ is the one that sits upon that great white throne. Hey, when you die without Jesus Christ, you won't have a defense table. You won't have your friends sitting in the witness section. You won't have a jury of your own peers. You won't stand before God and say, well, God, let me give you my defense. I remember growing up in New Hampshire, some of my friends would say, when I die, my good works are going to outweigh my bad works, and my good works are going to be a witness for why I should go to heaven. Let me just say, if you stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, you won't have a defense. And there you'll stand before that white throne, before Almighty God. Somebody has asked me, why is it a white throne? Well, you know, in the Bible, white stands for purity. It stands for holiness. And let me just say, Jesus Christ was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hey, Jesus was perfect. Never one time did he say a wrong word. Never one time did he disrespect authority. Never one time did Jesus Christ take God's name in vain. Never one time did he have an immoral and ungodly thought. Jesus Christ was perfect. And the perfect judge sits upon this white throne getting ready to judge sin and judge mankind. He says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, notice his statement, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Understand, John said, when I saw the throne, he said, I saw Christ sitting upon the throne. He said, the earth and the heaven, they fled away. You know, there's a big push to save the earth and go green. Let me just say, there is a day coming when this earth won't be here any longer. There's a day coming when the sun won't be around, the moon won't be around, the stars won't be around. Hey, there is a day coming when all that will flee from the presence of Almighty God. And friend, you will stand before God all alone. You know what you'll do? You'll stand before God without a place to hide. It says in Revelation chapter number 7, I believe it is, when the sixth judgment is open, the sixth seal is open, the Bible says that the rich men of the earth and the chief men and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man, they hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. Hey, there's a day coming when that seal is open and there's a massive earthquake all over the world. Everybody's going to try to run and hide from the wrath of Almighty God. They're going to go to the rocks, and they're going to go to the caves, and they're going to go to the dens, and they're going to go to their homemade bunker. And then they're going to try to hide from the wrath of Almighty God. But you understand, there is coming a day when you won't be able to hide from Almighty God. There's coming a day when there will be no more hiding places. There's coming a day when you will have no more defenses. There's coming a day when you'll have no more excuses. There's a day that you will stand before the judge of all the earth, who will do right. You'll stand before Almighty God, who knows you for who you really are. He knows you for the real Steve Schwenke. He knows you for your name. He knows you for who you really are. And the judge of all the earth, he's going to do right. Can I ask you this morning? Did John see you as you came and you stood before the judge of all the earth? Number one, we see the judge. But notice in verse number 12, notice those that are judged. You say, preacher, who are the participants at this scene? It says in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. John said, all right, here's who I saw. He said, I saw the dead. And by the way, let me just say this. There are those that believe in reincarnation. Let me just say, reincarnation is not Bible. When you die, you're not going to come back as something bigger or better, or if you've done bad, something worse, all right? Hey, some believe when you die that's it, annihilation. Let me just say, that's not Bible. The Bible, there's those that believe in purgatory, that when you die, you got to go to purgatory to pay for your sin, and after so long a time and so many prayers, you get to go to heaven. Let me say, that's not biblical. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, for those that know Christ as their personal Savior. And the Bible says in Luke chapter number 16, 16, when the rich man died, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Immediately when that rich man died, he had never trusted Christ to be a savior, he opened up his eyes in the lake of fire. You say, preacher, what happens when somebody dies? They either go to heaven or they go to hell. And one day, dear friend, if you die without Jesus Christ, you will go to hell, and hell is a holding cell. It's a holding place until this judgment, this great white throne judgment. And then the Bible says when Christ sits upon this throne, at this great white throne judgment, every dead individual that has been spiritually dead, has never trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior, they will come and they will stand before Jesus Christ at this great white throne. You say, preacher, that's pretty morbid. Absolutely it is. Every lost individual will stand there. And the Bible says the small and the great stand before God. Man, I think about great sinners. Man, I think about the Adolf Hitlers. Man, I think about the Joseph Stalins. I think about the Saddam Husseins. I mean, man, you fill in the gap. I think about those that have committed great crimes. And boy, the Bible says that they will get their just reward. One day they will stand before God and they will suffer the flames of hell for all of eternity. Hey, the great sinners are there. But you know what the Bible also says? It says the small. He said, I saw the dead small and great stand before God. You know what John saw? John saw lost teenagers that went to a church stand before him at the great white throne judgment. John saw church members that could sing from the hymn book. And boy, they could put on a show and talk about the Lord. John saw those individuals as they stood before God. And they were cast into the lake of fire. Hey, John saw choir members. He saw Sunday school teachers. He saw men and ladies and boys and girls that had never trusted Christ to be their Savior as they stood before Almighty God. Hey, can I ask you this morning? Did John see you? I'm not asking you, did he see your family? I'm not asking you, did he see your neighbor? I'm not asking you, did he see that co-worker of yours that's wicked and vile and runs their mouth and boy, they're big time sinners. Listen, it's easy to compare ourselves among ourselves, but I wonder, not about your neighbor, but I wonder about you. Did John see you as you stood before God at this great white throne? You say, preacher, what were they judged by? It says at the end of verse number 12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The Bible talks about at least two books that we know of. We know about the book of life, and the Bible talks about a book of works. The Bible says here that the dead were judged by their works. You know, you take the religions of the day. You know what the religions of the day say? All of them together. Doesn't matter which one it is, whether it's Hinduism, whether it's the Muslim religion, whether it's a Catholic. I mean, you name the religions of the day. Religion says, do enough good works and you'll earn favor with God. If you do enough good things, you'll enjoy heaven. If you don't, man, you might have to work in purgatory. But man, that's the religion of the day says work, work, work. You know, the reality is one day you would be judged by your works. You say, well, Brother Schwanke, that's a good thing. I'm a good person. You know, here's the alarming thing, though. Jesus, or the Bible says this, all our righteousness, our good works, he says, are as filthy rags. Dirty, disgusting rags that the lepers would use to wipe their sores in the Bible days. That's our righteousness. That's our good works, folks. Hey, before God, our good works, they stink. And you think about, that's the good works. Man, our bad works are going to be put on full display. You say, well, Brother Schwanke, I'm not that bad of a person. All right, let's say you're not that bad of a person. Let's say you sin just 10 times a day. By the way, you look at all the things that we do wrong, and be honest with you, folks, I do a whole lot. I probably sin a whole lot more than that. And so do you, all right? You think you're a saint. You're really not, all right? Every idle word the Bible says we're going to give an account for. And how many times do you just say something to say something, all right? And how many times do we disobey the speed limit, all right? I mean, down the list we could go. How many times do we, you know, say something out and not say, have a wrong thought? I mean, folks, we're wicked, all right? But let's say you sin 10 times a day. Multiply that by 365 days a year. Multiply that by 70, the average lifespan of a man. You're looking at over 200,000 sins. You say, Brother Schwanke, I'm not that bad. Oh, 200,000 times you've sinned against Almighty God. I'll tell you what, folks. Before a holy judge, we stand condemned. And by the way, all it takes is rejecting Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That's what's going to send you into eternity in hell. And yet the Bible says our sins, our works are going to be put on full display. Think about it. Every wrong, wicked thought put there on full display. Every time you used God's name in vain. Every time you sat in a church and you said no to Jesus Christ and his offer of salvation. Every opportunity you had to be saved. Every gospel tract that you read. Every time the word of God was open. Every time you said no to the Savior. Friend, that will be put on full display. What are they judged by? They're judged by their works. And dear friend, if you appear before God at the great white throne judgment, you will stand before him condemned. We see number one, the judge. Number two, those that are judged. Would you notice thirdly and lastly there in verse 15, would you notice the judgment? As the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, preacher, what's the judgment? The judgment is the lake of fire for all of eternity. John said, whosoever, you know what that tells me? Whosoever is anybody. That tells me you may be sitting here today and you're part of that whosoever. John said, this is what I saw. Whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life is that recorder of all those that have been born again. All those that have trusted Christ to be their Savior. John said that book is open. Man, if your name's not found written in that book, then the Bible says you're cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. You say, preacher, what's it like in the lake of fire? The Bible says it's a place of fire. Man, I don't know about you, but I don't like to feel flames. I burned my hand before. Man, I tell you what, that's not a fun experience. You know what? You'll be forever and forever in the lake of fire. The Bible says it's a place of darkness and blackness. It's a place where the worm dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. It's a place where they scream and beg for mercy. And the rich man said, well, I just want a drop of water. It's a place of great regret and great remorse. It is a place where there is no hope. And dear friend, if you die without Jesus Christ, that's your eternity. You say, preacher, that's awful. Understand, dear friend, that is an awful sentence. That is an awful eternity. Because you go to Revelation 21 and John talks about the beauty of heaven and the river of life and the tree of life. And boy, the beauty of Jesus and the street of gold and the beautiful city. You talk about the wonders of heaven. John said, listen, I saw heaven, but he said, I saw the lake of fire for all of eternity. Listen, the purpose of hell, the purpose of the lake of fire, it was created for the devil and his angels. But friend, if you die without your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you have sealed your fate in that lake of fire. You say, preacher, is there any hope? How can I get my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How can I enjoy heaven? How can John see me walking down the street of heaven instead of being thrown in the lake of fire? How can I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven? Well, you know, in that verse 15, it says, and whosoever, you know that word is where our comfort's at. Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You understand, dear friend, this morning, it doesn't matter your educational background, doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, doesn't matter how much Bible you may know or how little you may know. Dear friend, it doesn't matter what you've done with your life. The reality is, if you would by faith alone, apart from works, trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Just childlike faith. This is what God said in his word. Christ died on the cross according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And if you would by faith believe what God said in his word. And you would make the choice to turn from your sin. And trust Christ to be your Savior. Making him your leader. If you would make that choice. Then dear friend, the Bible says that you could have a home in heaven. But you know what? You've got to make the choice. I can't make it for you. Your pastor can't make it for you. Your parents can't make it for you. Your Sunday school teacher can't make it for you. Friend, you've got to make the choice. And for everybody that enjoys the beauty of heaven, there was a time in their life when they realized that they were guilty before God. And they realized that Jesus Christ died for them. And they said, you know what? I'm not trusting in my works. I'm not trusting in my baptism. But I'm trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone to take me to heaven. I wonder, friend, this morning, have you ever done that? Because if you die today having never done that, then forever and forever and forever, you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. There's no emergency exits. There's no do-overs. There's no try again. When you take your last breath, it's over. And your fate will be sealed. I wonder this morning, are you going to gamble on your eternity? Are you going to take that risk? You know, you could leave this parking lot and go out to the stop sign and be T-boned by another vehicle coming through. This could be the last opportunity you have to be saved. Friend, this morning, don't die without Christ. Don't spend eternity in the lake of fire. Hey, this morning, instead of John seeing you stand before the great white throne judgment, I want you today come. And in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Why don't you come? And today, by faith alone, why don't you trust Christ to be your Savior? I wonder this morning, I asked that question earlier. I wonder, did John see you as you stood before Christ at this great white throne judgment? I sure hope not. But friend, today, if you're without Christ, if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, then today, why don't you get that settled? Why don't you turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Father, I preached your word this morning. I did my best to tell the folks the truth about what happens when somebody dies without you. Now, Father, I pray that you would save those that are without Christ. I pray there would not be one person that leaves today without trusting, knowing for sure they're on their way to heaven. Lord, would you please move in this invitation? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand and the music will be given, a time to respond will be given. But I wonder how many would say this morning, "Preacher, truth be told is I don't know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I realized he rose again. I realize there's a lake of fire for all of eternity for those that have never trusted Christ to be their Savior." You say, "Preacher, this morning, I don't want to die without Christ. I want to enjoy heaven. I want to go to heaven. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to get that settled today. Would you pray for me?" If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you this morning. I won't call you out, but I sure would like to pray for you. "Preacher, that's me. Here's my hand. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." Good, thank you. I see that hand. Good, you can put that down. Who else? "Preacher, that's me." Good, I see that hand back there. Good, that's me, preacher. I'm not sure today if I die today that I go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my eternity. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Anybody else? Two have raised their hand. Anybody else? That's me, preacher. Not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Now you hear this morning, you raised your hand. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Listen, I promised you I wouldn't embarrass you. And I won't do that, but here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, we're going to stand. And our heads are going to be bowed, our eyes are going to be closed. Pastor Young's going to be here in the front. And as the music begins to play, if you would like to get that settled today, here's what I'd like to invite you to do. Would you step out of the aisle and make your way forward? Come right to Pastor. Say, "Pastor, I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven." If that's you this morning, then friend, don't leave without trusting Christ to be your Savior. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for these two that have raised their hand. Lord, there may be more. Not sure they're on their way to heaven. I pray that you would now give them the courage to come. And Lord, I pray that they would trust Christ to be their Savior. For your people, or maybe you've spoken to their hearts, Lord, as we have a time of invitation, maybe they need to come and maybe pray for some of their friends or their family that are lost. Lord, give us a fresh burden for souls. Lord, you've spoken to others' hearts. I pray that today we would respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. As a pianist begins to play the music this morning, you raised your hand. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Christians are coming. They're using the altar. But you raised your hand. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Pastor Young's right here in the front. Would you come? Would you step out of your seat? Would you come and say, "Pastor, that's me. I need to get that settled. I need to get saved." Would you come right now? Christians are praying. God's worked in your heart, child of God. You need to come. Would you respond? How about it this morning? Are you sure if you die today you go to heaven? God's worked in your heart. Listen, would you come right now? You say, "Well, somebody's in my way." Just tap them on the shoulder. Say, "Hey, get out of my way. I need to get that settled." Good. Good. Praise the Lord. Good. Good. Praise the Lord. How about it? Just say, "Excuse me," and man, we'll get out of your way. You get that settled today. Good.